Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this morning to our Monday morning 8:30 a.m. wake-up call with WBRX. It's always exciting to be able to just get on the line and share information that we hope is beneficial and relevant for myself and my partner, Sean Baker. It is a delight, and I see that many of you dialed on early this morning, which I guess some of you are kind of getting the you're getting my subtle hints to get on early and introduce yourself, and I certainly do appreciate that because, you know, it's always, you know, kind of setting the tone and letting everybody hear your voice. It does matter, and, you know, I know that, you know, we're you know, getting started, most of us in our day. Some of us have been, you know, up. If you're like my partner, you probably ran 3 miles. I think he's running every morning now early or something like that, which is phenomenal. I'm always I'm so encouraged and excited to see what he's doing. He's out there you know, now running, which, you know, when I met him, you know, we got started in this company, not met him, but I met him, you know, almost 20 years ago, obviously, but when we got going here, he was 44 pounds heavier than he is now. I would have never guessed he had 44 pounds to lose, but now he's a stealth example of fitness and making strides every day to improve, which is always exciting. But guys, I'm just gonna jump into some information. You know, man, we've got a lot of great stuff that's going on this week, and I want to give a shout out and a congratulations first to Megan Mitchell because Megan actually has won the $10,000 pool. Because she went out and you know, she sponsored 5 frontline people. And I have to tell you, you know, it's exciting because, you know, when we look at the demographic last month, Sinley Fox, so the gals are just killing it. And you know, that's a lot of money. And it's a $10,000 pool, right? But if you're the only person that's competing – and you accomplish what's required to get the incentive, then you win the $10,000. You know, there's no way we don't publish the names of those that are competing. We're not, you know, our philosophy is we're not interested in you competing against other people. We're just excited about you competing against yourself. Okay, and if you can get into that mindset and start competing with you and doing what's required, great things can happen. And so that's exactly what happened for you, Megan. Congratulations. I know that that'll be money well spent. You've got 3 young strapping boys that you can do a lot of fun stuff with. And it's exciting for us as a company to see that you've accomplished that, and you should celebrate it. And you should be celebrated because you competed against you. You went out and did what you had to do. You thought it out. You did the math, which we encourage everyone to do, and you said, hey, does this make sense? Does it make sense for me to go out and to do what's required to have success? And the great news is you have these folks now in your group, you have a brand new group, and really it's about what we can do and what you can do with that new group of people to be able to explore the growth trend that can take place if just one of them gets on fire, right? So we know that statistically, for every 20 people that you sponsor, you're going to have 1 to 2 that are going to go out and they're going to kill it, statistically, right? It could be more. It's not very often that it's less, but it could be more than just 2 out of 20. But we know at least 2 are going to go out and they're going to really do some big things, and you're going to have another 2 to 3 or 4 they're going to actually duplicate. And then you're going to have some that are going to quit and some that are going to incubate. We know those statistics, but that's just the name of the game, right? And so, you know, I'm encouraged about the fact that you've got those new people to be able to go out and to be able to build with. If we lay a good, solid game plan for them, we put together and architect a good, structured plan for them, then you can go out and have great success. So congratulations. We're excited about it. We want to, you know, again, celebrate it. And we want you know, everyone to understand that when we lay these incentives out, because we'll have other incentives that we'll utilize as we go to help pay you guys. And then that's in addition, by the way, to the comp plan. That's a bonus. That's a pool that we did in addition to the money that's in the comp plan. She actually earned more than $10,000. Okay, but that's just the pool. So we just encourage you guys, when we put that stuff out, man, hey, you know, you may want to pay attention to it. You may actually want to get involved in looking to see what you can do to compete, because in the process of competing within the within these pools, what can really happen is you'll build a big business, okay? You can literally go out and you can change, you know, change your whole financial direction, right? And you can have a phenomenal outcome. And it always starts with something, right? Something ignites the fire. Something gets it going and starts, you know, getting the flames kind of moving. Something fans that fire. And so, and if it takes an incentive with a little bit of extra cash, then so be it. And we're just big advocates. We just love it when people actually put forth the effort, they compete, and they win. And we're excited for you. So, congratulations again, Megan. So, guys, what I want to talk with you about this morning, before I turn the call over to my partner, is that, you know, I've had many conversations with several people ancillarily that are, you know, kind of engaged in the business, and they're active, and they've got some activity, but maybe their activity is not as productive, or our activity is not as productive as we'd like for it to be. And so it's always good, as I mentioned last week, to just take a look at what's working and what's not working, right? And so I have some great questions, and I feel those questions, and here was my answer. You know, sometimes if we find ourselves in a position where we're doing as much as we believe we can do, we're having activity, but we're not necessarily having productivity, what are the subtle changes that need to be made? And it's always different for every individual. It never is the same, right? But I just encourage people to recognize that when you're offering a business opportunity to somebody, okay, I believe that you have to genuinely believe that that's a real opportunity for you to share it with the right confidence and the right posture. Otherwise, I think Sean talked about this last week, is that, you know, the analogy is you can find the tail wagging the dog. In other words, what we're doing here is we're offering people that are upwardly mobile entrepreneurs an opportunity to participate in this new growth trend that's taking place within the product sector that we have. But it's bigger than that, because we know that the product is phenomenal. And by the way, the product catalog that we have with Wellness Biosciences Rx is going to evolve and change, okay? You know, you're going to see that. We're having some phenomenal new things that are going to be occurring, that you'll see some announcements that will occur this week, just relevant to our company, right? But it's bigger than the product, right? Now, as we talked about, and we launched this call with, we talked about the advances of the business opportunity with Megan Mitchell winning $10,000. Well, the phenomenal thing that you have is that you have around this great product. By the way, the product catalog is going to improve and get a lot better, and it's going to be a lot more desirable, but attached to that product, you have a phenomenal business opportunity, okay? And therein lies the difference, because people can go to the store and they can search and they can find different products out there, which, you know, we know, we always say that Wellness Biosciences is not the only company selling a CBD. Hey, we're not even the only company selling a medical grade CBD, right? And I'm sure that there's some cost comparisons and some ideas, but here's who we are, right? We are a company that attracts people from different walks of life that would like to be part of a professional network organization of people that support the idea of helping other people with a medical grade CBD that's physician referred, and that we can feel confident in knowing that these people are getting a very phenomenal product. But attached to that phenomenal product is one hell of a business opportunity. As a matter of fact, that business opportunity is so strong, we look at it and we go, okay, is this a chance to earn an extra few $1,000s a month, or is it a chance to earn more than that? Is it an opportunity to develop a network where we literally could change the course of our financial outcome and earn $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month? Now, as I'm sharing that with you, I want you to know that there was a moment in time about 28 years ago where I heard that same information. And as much as I heard it, and then the idea of generating that type of income tickled me, I did not believe it. I was a hardworking guy. I grew up in El Paso, Texas, okay? And it was not easy. And I was able to go to school because I could throw a baseball. Fortunate enough to do that, got around some good people, and got and really graduated with a college degree that said exercise physiology, which is a fancy way of saying physical education. Okay. So as I went to school, fortunate enough to go to school and graduated, I went out and I started, you know, pursuing the idea of being an entrepreneur by basically being a personal trainer. And because I was a personal trainer, I learned how to teach people to get physically fit. And then I developed relationships with other people, and they had their own personal clientele, and together we had our own facility. And the story continued to evolve and grow because I genuinely believe that those people that were training other people needed an opportunity to not travel around as much. So I talked to them about coming to a facility where they could actually have a reception service, where they could have people taking care of their clients, and they could just bring their people to me and to us as a facility, and they would get the benefit of not having to travel around, and they would be more cost-effective. And they could offer their clients a more cost-effective method than instead of just going out to their homes and going out to where they live. And the idea took off, and it worked. And before long, we had a little business there that was doing a little bit of a business, you know, a million and a half in revenue. And I was taking home $150,000, spending $151,000, needed an opportunity, but was not open to an opportunity. If you came along, and many did, and I turned down some life-changing opportunities, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a gal that was my receptionist that came into my office, said, "Barry, this guy keeps wanting to talk to you. He keeps trying to set an appointment." So I finally went out. I said, "Hey, how can I help you?" And sure enough, I knew the guy was needing some money. Okay, everyone had their own little thing. And that was my mindset, right? That was my mindset when it came to opportunity. Look, I've got an opportunity. Can you see all these trainers on the floor? Can you see all this equipment? Can you see that I'm knee deep, I'm actually neck deep every day because I've got stuff to do. I didn't have time to talk to him. I probably was not very courteous. He said, "Listen, I need $15,000. I'm going to start this little company. It's going to be something called electronic mail." Mind you, this was back in 1987. Okay, who knew? Some of you may have known about the internet. I did not. It was 1987, or late at 1987, early 88. And he talked to me about electronic mail and about owning a company and how in the future everybody were going to be communicating primarily rather than through the U.S. mail, but through an electronic mail through a cloud. I was like, I couldn't even understand what he was talking about. He said, "It's Hotmail." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Is this pornographic?" He said, "No, absolutely not. It's a real means of how people are going to be communicating. And I just need $15,000 of seed money from you and about three or four other people to get it going. And then that will continue to grow. And then we'll be able to use that seed capital and your stock will continue to increase." And I was like, "Look, let me just get to my next training session. Let me just make sure that our physical therapy appointments are okay. Can you just talk to Aaron here at the front desk?" It was actually my front desk girl, and she'll make an appointment. We'll discuss it further. Well, I, of course, avoided that appointment like the plague because in my mind, it was something that was like, it almost like an alien that I had no idea what he was talking about. Now, that gentleman that was offering me a business opportunity went out and found the seed money, and he found enough seed money to get a company by the name of Hotmail launched, and he built that company up as the internet became new, innovative, and email became pervasive. And in 1996, he sold that company to somebody for a little company called Microsoft for over $400 million. Over $400 million. Now, it's my understanding that the people that put in that seed capital were all in that category of somewhere between $50 to $75 million as a result of the stock that they parlayed and then doubled and tripled. Now, that was not my story. That was their story. My story was I was too busy in my world to pay attention to opportunity. Now, I never forgot that. I never forgot the result that occurred with that gentleman in 1996, because that's a real story that happened to me. Okay. Now, here's what I would tell you. Oftentimes, we ask ourselves, what is it? Why do we see, or why am I so excited about this opportunity, but the person I just talked to just doesn't get it? Let me share something with you. The question came to me, Barry, what should I say to someone that asks me the question? You know, what is it that, I mean, they start giving me a whole laundry list of things that I should be concerned about when it comes to, example, network marketing or another one of those things, right? And I've always told them, listen, the truth is always very, very important. Just tell people the truth. Why did you make a decision to get involved? Well, I got excited about the idea of CBD, and I really do believe that it's going to become big, and I do believe that, you know, that you guys have done it before. I said, well, why don't you tell that to the person who told you? I mean, is the concept of it being good enough for you ever cross your mind that it might be good enough for them too? I mean, do you have enough confidence and understanding why you made the decision? Well, Barry, they asked me how much money I've made, but I haven't really made any money yet. Is there anything wrong with the truth? Never. There's nothing wrong with the truth. You know what? It's not about the amount of money I've made or haven't made. It's about the opportunity for us to team up and go out and build something of significance together, just like every business that gets going. Just like every company gets started. Now, either that person is a viable candidate to team up with, or they're not. So I recommend that we don't spend too much time trying to determine why people do certain things and why they don't. Okay, I can tell you, when I go back to Barry Koshue back in 1987, 88, I'm a different guy today because I learned valuable lessons. So that lesson of that gentleman that offered me an opportunity back in that day, it has paid me millions of dollars, not because of what I didn't seize his opportunity. I seized a different opportunity about 2-3 years later in something called network marketing, when everybody at that time said, you know what, Barry, I don't know about those pyramid things. But I didn't pay attention to them because I'd already learned my lesson. I'd already learned my Hotmail lesson. And so even though I didn't understand it, I paid enough attention and I got the information and I started to realize, wait a minute, this is a massive industry. There are people earning significant revenue. And I stopped paying attention to the people that said it couldn't work. And I started following the information of those that said it could. And I didn't pay any attention to the vast majority of those that said it wouldn't work. I paid attention to the few people that said, oh, it can work. And here's how it can work. And here's what I recommend for all of you, because I've been through a lot of challenges when it comes to people, you know, that will try to tear down your dream, will try to take apart who you are and what you want to do. If you believe it's something that's right for you, then I'm an avid believer that no one should ever try to steal or destroy your dream. And I've had that happen. I started a company back in 2000. That went out and marketed and distributed wellness-based products throughout the United States and into 5 different countries. We started with a physician platform just like we're doing now. And fortunate as God would have it, it was blessed and it took off and we had great success, right? But in the early stages, I want you to realize it was just like we're in now. You see, Sean and I, we've written the biggest checks. We've made the biggest commitment. So we've never had any problem with people that want to join us as founders of our company because we know the commitment that's required from us. I mean, really, at the end of the day, the biggest commitment and the biggest light that shines on whether this works or not is on myself and my partner. We know that for today. But as things evolve and grow and we have leaders like Megan and Sinley and many others, then it becomes about you guys. But in the early stages, somebody had to get it going, and we believed. We put our hard-earned money into the deal. The biggest problem with network marketing is it doesn't cost enough. If people can sign an app and fog a mirror, they're now a brand partner, right? And they own their own business. But it does require more than that. But when people come along and they start challenging you with the concept of an opportunity in this space, sometimes it's a challenge for us to have our armor on when people try to destroy the fabric of what you're doing. And I can go back to a real quick story. I'll tell you guys, listen, back in, it was 2001, and we had just started the company. And I, you know, at that time, I mean, I was a young guy. I had a good run as a distributor, you know, between 1992 and 1998. You know, we had, you know, 1099 income, about $6.2 million. It was a big deal. Changed my life. We'd had enough money to be able to save it and paid our taxes, and we started a company with a few other people. Now, that was our own money, so that check was based upon what we believed we could do, not what someone else could do. And we knew that it was going to take a lot of people that believed in the concept and the idea, but it wasn't going to be easy because, frankly, at that time, medical doctors were not excited about offering nutritional supplementation to their patient base in lieu of pharmaceutical meds, okay? They weren't even excited about getting involved in their patient's wellness program until they saw a few of their colleagues do it. And then a few of those people had more of their colleagues do it. And before you knew it, we had a network. It took us a lot longer to get to 100 doctors than it did for us to get to 1,000. I remember it vividly. But in that day, that was the challenge, right? That was the opportunity. Now, we wrote our own check and we started that company because we've been out there in the industry and we believe without a doubt. So you have to realize, we're starting a brand new company. I was on a flight from Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta, Georgia. And I got bumped up that day. I was flying a lot. And I got bumped up to first class on points. And, you know, I sat next to this gentleman. And he had on, you could tell, he had on those gold-rimmed glasses and real sharp pinstripe suit. And, you know, I sat next to him. And we just started chit-chatting and just started talking about just general stuff, sports, family. And, you know, he proceeded to tell me how he was an investment banker, highly successful, working with some of the creme de la creme. And, I mean, he looked it, too. He looked it. He, you know, sharp, smelled good, everything, right? And I'm sitting next to him, and I'm on my way. I've got a meeting that morning in Atlanta. And I had some brochures of the company that we were doing, just early development marketing material. And he said, hey, what is it that you do? I said, well, here, let me just give you a couple of my brochures and you can take a look. And, of course, it was, you know, it was wellness-based products and a network marketing company, well-designed brochures, very, very well-crafted. But I watched him, you know, just sitting in the seat quietly there as the airline attendant came and gave us our coffee. I was just sitting there, and he started reading the brochures. And interestingly enough, as he started reading the brochures, I could see his body language completely change. It was almost like the coffee he was having was tasted disgusting. Something wasn't right. And he went on to read it, and then he finished it, he closed it, and he handed it back to me. And he proceeded to go on for the next 15 to 20 minutes to tell me how ridiculously stupid and odd it was for anybody to ever get involved with network marketing. He thought, and he proceeded to tell me about how he had friends that had lost money, who had friends and family who had lost money, and I couldn't believe that I would take it upon myself. He started in, and he didn't stop. He just went on and on for 15 minutes about how terrible and awful it was that I was starting a company. And just keep in mind, I'm new. The company is new. We had just started our entire organization blowing and developing a brand new business. And we didn't know what we didn't know. We were just out. I had never run a network marketing company before. So we obviously were, you know, a bit vulnerable, right? I mean, you just spend a lot of money. You're starting to travel. You believe in what you're doing. But, hey, let's face it. As a young guy starting a brand new company in that day, it was what it was. So he went on and on. And then I just finally said, hey, you know, I'm gonna stop you for a second, if you don't mind. And I'm going to just talk to you about, you know, what I'm doing. But first of all, I want to just tell you this real quick. I am a brand new guy, you know, starting a brand new company. And I've sat here and I've listened to you for the last 15 minutes go on and on about how terrible being involved in network marketing is. Now, I just want to say to you, over the last 10 years, I've completely rerouted my life. I've changed my destiny, not just my life, but my family's life and my grandchildren's life, my parents' life, because I accepted an opportunity. Now, let me just say this, and I can see his look on his face, right? I said, look, all of this has happened because I accepted an opportunity. But I thank God that 10 years ago, when I got involved in this industry, I didn't meet someone like you. Because someone like you, at that particular point in time in my business, in my early development, you would have completely destroyed my dream. And I pray to God, nobody ever comes into contact with you that's vulnerable to the naysaying, terrible, all the things that you've done here for the last 50 minutes that are the most awful, despicable things I can imagine. You sat here and tried to steal my dream. And, sir, I'm excited about what you're doing as an investment banker, but frankly, I'm going to go sit back and coach. And I asked the airline steward, please have someone come take my seat. I went back and got a different seat because I don't want to be next to you or near you, because I thank God I didn't meet you, 10 years ago, because you'd have completely stolen my dream. And I left, and I maneuvered, and I went on from there. Now, I tell you that because my story, guys, is not so removed and different than a lot of other people's story. I'm just like a lot of other people. There's no difference, right? There's no difference in all of us, because we're talking to someone brand new. And we don't know what they're going to say. And sometimes we get bought into their opinions and their ideas rather than the things that we're excited about, the things that we've done or things that we've accepted. And I just want to encourage you, when you go out into this journey, pay close attention to what led you to make that decision to begin with, and be bought into you and be bought into what you've decided. Because if you're not bought in on it, you're not going to have anybody else that's going to get bought in on either. We have a phenomenal product. And by the way, that product is going to get a lot better very quickly. Okay. And we have a phenomenal business opportunity, and it's all based upon the lens that you're seeing it through. If you can see an opportunity to go out and start generating, hundreds and then thousands and then ultimately millions of dollars of revenue, it's available to you. No one's going to control the geography of the expansion of your network. No one's going to control your income. We're not going to cut your territory. We're not going to hack away at how much money you make. In fact, we're going to strongly market it. We're going to strongly advertise it. You're going to hear the name Megan Mitchell for the next 2 weeks because she went out and she competed and she won $10,000, right? And so all we want you to understand, guys, is this opportunity is as real as you choose for it to be. And so when you start hearing about some of the latest and greatest and the new things that we're doing as a company and some of the big companies out there that have given us exclusivity and some of the things that are exciting, just know this, guys. Some of you and some of us, we never know. No one has a crystal ball, but we believe in our hearts that we're in the right place at the right time for the right reasons. And I want to extend to you that when you go out and speak to people, speak to them with authority and conviction and belief, and at all times recognize either they're going to be a person that's going to chip away at your armor and they're going to get inside of you and they're going to destroy your opportunity, or you're going to have to go out with your armor of belief, conviction, and speak with authority, because at the end of the day, someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. Every single person, I guarantee you, that speaks to my partner who I'm going to bring up on the call right now, knows without a doubt he's all in. He believes without a doubt he's going to do magnificent things for lots of people. He's in the right place at the right time. And so it doesn't matter. If they don't agree, then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all about making sure that you communicate this with enough people in a short period of time. I would never bank on one deal. I would never bank, oh, that guy would be so great. Well, if they're not excited, they're not going to be great. I'd be more excited about talking to as many different people as I possibly could. And then those that are excited will move into it. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I have exactly what they need. It isn't me. I thank God to this day. Think about this. For the guy that introduced me to the business, his name is Greg Chudikoff, back in 1992. What if Greg never introduced me to the opportunity to get involved with him in network marketing with that company that was in a startup, and I didn't earn the money that I earned, didn't travel the world, didn't meet the woman who I ended up marrying, having five kids within that opportunity? What if that didn't happen? I don't know where I would be. God would have placed me somewhere else, but it wouldn't be with the life that I've had. So it's all based upon me at that time accepting that opportunity. I thank God that Greg brought it to me. So let me ask you a question. Is there someone out there that you could bring an opportunity to that would change their life? Do you see offering an opportunity to people from that perspective, from that lens, right? Because if we see it from that lens, then we get a little bit more excited about sharing the opportunity, right? Because if we think to ourselves, what if it doesn't work? What if it does? What if I introduce it to a person who ends up like Sean Baker, rerouting and changing their life, earning income that they probably would have never otherwise earned, traveling, doing the things they never otherwise would have, growing and becoming a whole different individual, not because of the opportunity, because of him accepting the opportunity and what he did with it, right? So I just want to encourage you guys, when you're out there talking with people, believe me, there are going to be some people that don't get it, okay? It's okay. Just recognize that the reasons that you accepted the opportunity and go out with conviction and belief and make sure without a doubt that people know that you're not only do you believe that you know that you're on the right track and you're looking for people to team up with you and you'll have magnificent results. So with that, I'm going to bring my partner. It was a pleasure to listen to you, man. I'm going to take some notes and I want you to take the call and rock and roll, man. It's an honor and privilege to work with you, brother. And I'm gonna let you go and I'm turn the call to you.
All right, brother. Hey, thanks, Barry. Appreciate you. Great job. And guys, thank you for joining us on a Monday morning. I look forward to this, you know, every single week. And today I thought, you know, I got a little distracted and was listening to Barry and taking notes and I was flipping through just, you know, like I guess you'd call them anecdotes or jokes. And I came across one that it just made me crack up because it goes right in line with what Barry's talking about today and what I'm going to talk about today, which is really, if you're taking notes, I don't know if you're a note taker, but if you're taking notes, I'm going to focus on 3 points today. I'm going to talk about motivation, mindset, and mobilizing. Okay, the three M's. And I'm making this up as I go. I started taking these notes yesterday after watching a church sermon, and they were talking about mobilizing. And as a guy that was, you know, in the Army, and we would always mobilize, right? When to go somewhere, we would mobilize to go. You didn't go, you mobilized, then you went. You prepared, and then you went on the journey. And so I'm going to talk about motivation, mindset, and mobilizing today. But I'm also going to talk about people that will kill your dreams. You know, Barry tells a great story, and I've heard that story many times, and I laugh every time because I can just see him listening to this guy rip through his opportunity. And Barry just said, okay, you know, let me change seats because you're basically trying to feed me poison, and I'm not interested. I mean, literally, when it comes to an emotional state, and I know the coronavirus is not a joking matter, so I'm not joking, but as it relates to your emotional state, there are people trying to infect you every day with their poison, for lack of a better word. And so I always think about children, and there's a scripture, and Barry and I don't try to push our faith on anybody. We're open about our faith, but we're also very supportive of various faiths around the globe. And so anyway, Barry and I happen to be Christians, and I always think about children because in the Bible it says, out of the mouth of babe, you know, and it talks about childlike innocence and the way to enter the kingdom and being childlike and not childish, but childlike. And there are very, you know, I'm kind of a wordsmith, and those are two very different things. You can behave childishly, or you can have a childlike spirit. And so, anyway, this joke, I came across this joke and said, I heard about this kindergarten teacher. She was walking around her room, and her students were drawing pictures. She noticed that a little girl was intently drawing, and she asked what she was drawing. And the little girl said she was drawing a picture of God. Well, the teacher started kind of laughing and snickering, and she said, oh, honey, nobody really knows what God looks like. And the little girl looked up without missing a beat and said, well, they will in a minute. And I just love that story because that is the purity of a child and the innocence of a child. And so sometimes in this business, you have to have some of that innocence and some of that purity and some of that understanding that the rest of the world may or may not get you. And that's okay. It's probably a good thing if the rest of the world doesn't get you, because if you want to retire like the other 87% of the U.S. population, according to IRS statistics, then by all means, get approval from society, be an 87%er, and go onto your march if that's what, you know, you're so inclined to do. I don't want to be an 87 percenter, and frankly, I don't want to associate with 87 percenters any more than I have to. And I love my parents with my whole heart, and I want to honor them until, you know, until their dying days. But at the end of the day, I don't want to emulate their financial success. I don't want to emulate their retirement plan. I don't want to be anything like them as it relates to, you know, what legacy I want to leave to my children. My parents will die with me knowing how loved and valued and appreciated and cherished I was. But make no mistake, I will be supporting, you know, four children at least, and four parents into their what should have been their golden years, but they didn't make the proper decisions as they were, you know, our ages or my age as it related to their finances. And so what I want to talk about is motivation, mindset, and mobilizing. And Barry brought up my weight loss. He was very kind. I am down 44 pounds. Well, I'm actually down back up a few on purpose because I was starting to look a little gaunt, I was being told. But, you know, so I'm hovering somewhere around 190, you know, but I'm down at least 35 pounds and I'm feeling great. But here's my reality of the situation. I had to change, okay? So back to motivation. What was my motivation? Well, my motivation was had to. I didn't need or think that I needed to lose weight per se. I needed to get off of reflux medication as a result of having taken non-steroidal anti-inflammatories all through my 20s and 30s. I've had acid reflux, probably damaging acid reflux since I was in my early 20s, and now you know, products like Zantac are being black labeled and pulled off the market for causing cancer. So my motivation was, I can't live with damaging acid reflux, and now I can't take these medications that are potentially harmful, or I won't take these medications that are potentially harmful until I get, you know, a clearer green light from somebody other than the FDA, who, not to get on that stump, but the FDA is not our friends, and we can have that conversation another time, not my friend, I should say. So my motivation was I had to change. Some people get by on a want to. Oh, I want to run a marathon, which I don't. Or people say, oh, I want to lose 30 pounds, or I want six-pack abs, right? And if you're one of those people, God bless you. If your motivation is a want-to motivation, I'm inspired by you. But most people, you have to understand, are more motivated by the fear of loss than they are the desire to gain. And for me, I simply had to make a change. So the weight loss, the dietary restrictions, the getting off of all reflux medications has radically changed my life, and I couldn't be more grateful. The second motivation thing that Barry talked about was my new running journey. Well, I tell you, you know, I ran every day or almost every day for 4 years in the Army. I did it because I had to. I did it because it was part of the job. But I have never been someone that has found pleasure. I've never personally experienced the runner's high. You know, again, envious of people that claim they do that. I just don't, sadly. And so I was challenged by a friend of mine who I served in the Army with in Iraq, and he's going to run the Army 10-miler in Washington, D.C. It leaves from the Pentagon, and it returns to the Pentagon. Well, again, what is my first M, my motivation, is reconnecting with an old friend, getting back in much better shape than I've been in probably the last 20 to 25 years, and to support, you know, the Army 10-miler raises money, and it goes to post-traumatic stress victims and sufferers, and I'm someone that firmly believes in that. So I had a number of motivations there, right? So the next thing Barry talked about, just recapping, was Megan Mitchell. You know, I couldn't be more proud and honored to work with Megan. She is someone that is a consummate professional. She is a studier. She is a learner. She is articulate. I mean, if you've ever seen her, clearly she's a beautiful lady, and she's got her own motivations, whatever they may be. And I won't express that. I'll let Megan do that. I think we're going to have her on the call, on the testimonial call on Wednesday night. So make sure you dial into that call, but you'll get to hear about Megan's motivation, whether it's her children or whether it's her nurse practitioner school or whether it's something entirely different. Megan was able to find a motivation, recraft her mindset, which is the same thing I had to do in my Army 10-miler and in my weight loss and reflux battle. And then ultimately she mobilized. I made decisions to change my diet. I made decisions to start running and hire a running coach. I made a decision to sign up for the Army 10-miler. Well, Megan had to decide what priorities she had in her life. Do I go to school, or do I call this prospect, or do I take care of my boys, or do I somehow juggle and manage all three? Well, that takes a heck of a plan. If you have children and you know what I'm talking about, you really have to get your mindset right to understand what you're going to accomplish, how you're going to accomplish it. Then you have to mobilize and act. Okay, and Megan did that to the tune of winning the contest and you know, having five new brand partners. And we couldn't, Barry and I both couldn't be more excited or more proud of what we know, not only she's accomplished, but what she's going to accomplish in the future. The sky really is the limit. And so the next thing I want to talk about is protecting yourself, as Barry mentioned, from dream killers. Okay, now, guys, I don't want to point any fingers. This is definitely an if the shoe fits situation. Okay, I'm not talking about anybody on the call. As a matter of fact, I'm primarily, as I usually am, talking about my own challenges and my own journey and my own shortcomings. But your dream killers can be a number of different things. Usually, for me, it starts with me. My own laziness, masked as something else, right? Masked as, well, it's raining outside. I don't want to put in my 3, 4, 5, 8 miles today. Okay. I'm not going to melt, and I am a gym member, and I can go run on the treadmill. So I have multiple options that if I've got to put in 3, 4, 5, 8 miles today, the only reason I wouldn't do it is if I didn't make it a priority. Okay. So I can mask it in something else, but at its root energy, it's just me not wanting to do it. So I'm my first dream killer. I'm my tier one, level one, get out of my own way dream killer, masked in laziness or undiscipline or whatever you want to call it. Okay. Number two is often family and friends. Okay. You have to be careful. I love my mother. I love my father. I know that many of you on the call, I know you, and I know many of your family members. I know your moms in some cases. I know your dads or stepdads in some cases. And I watch. I am a keen observer. Somebody was telling me the other day, I think it was Megan was telling me the other day, I have phenomenal peripheral vision. But other people have told me that I have phenomenal peripheral hearing. And a friend of mine named Jim says I even have a phenomenal peripheral energy. Like I can just kind of feel the energy of a room, good or bad, right? And I would have to say that's true. There's times I've called friends and dialing the phone, I'm like, this is, you know, I'm feeling something. And sometimes I get them on the phone and they're having a moment or a bad day, or we've got a little bit of a riff and something we've got to work out and squash between he or she and I. And I can feel that. And so sometimes you guys have to realize, you have to back up and you have to decide, who are you going to let counsel you on whatever subject matter? Now, I would tell you, my dad and I have strengthened our relationship, and there are a number of things that I would love his wise counsel on. But my dad is not a risk taker. Well, that's not true. Ironically, my dad is a risk taker. He is not a proponent of the risks I take. If it were up to my dad, I'd still be at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, which, by the way, was a job he did not want me to take. He thought I was better. I'd served my country. I was a combat veteran. And he thought it was asinine that I would take a job renting cars. Well, when I started making more money than he did at the age of 22, 23 years old, he thought Enterprise Rent-A-Car was the best company on the planet and that I should be there forever. Working 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week, never seeing my kids, didn't really faze him. He thought, you know, well, that's just what you do. So you have to be careful who you confide in, who you trust in about certain subject matter. You need to be wise and discerning. If there's someone that's not entrepreneurial, don't tell them about your wins. And I'm just picking Megan as an example. I'm not saying this is even a case, but she should not necessarily be out bragging about winning $10,000 or what she had to do to get there to everybody, because trust me, someone is looking to blow out your candle and they don't even know they're doing it. Now, social media, news media, some of these neighborhood apps, those people are sometimes looking and intentionally looking to just spit in your drinking water. They just have an axe to grind with somebody, and if you'll give them a stage, they will grind that axe on you. But other people, they truly do it couched in and masked in love. And as they masked in love, often they are loving. There's a story that an old friend of mine, Ogie Zankoff, used to tell. But I know Jeff and Sarah Davison, they're founders and they're PPC members. I'm not sure if they're on the call this morning. But Jeff was a fighter pilot, flew for over 20 years. He was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force, proud veteran. He was a fighter pilot. And he's told me enough stories that I know, you know, that's some pretty intense maneuvers, pretty intense work, pretty intense training. But there's a story of a Vietnam fighter pilot's mom writing her son a letter. And in her own lack of understanding, in her own lack of understanding her son's calling, her son's purpose, her son's vision, her son's aptitude, her son's training, she wrote a letter that said, I know you're out there and I know you're defending our country and I couldn't be more proud of you. But as your mother, I need you to promise me that you will fly very low and very slow so that you can come home to me safely. Well, if you know anything about being a fighter pilot, that is probably the most ridiculous thing. I mean, other than saying, hey, make sure you land your plane, you know, in the enemy camp. You know, I mean, there's just low and slow and fighter pilot do not coincide. I mean, that would be the first thing to get you killed. But in her lack of understanding, she loved her son. She desired her son's safety. She wanted him to come home. And made the dumbest comment she could possibly make about how to execute for his safety. That will parallel into your life every day. And I am not just talking about wellness biosciences. I'm telling you, go out and tell somebody you're going to run a 10-mile or a half marathon or a marathon, and you're going to get the house divided. People are going to say, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. You should absolutely do that. And other people are going to go, why? Why would you do that? What is wrong with you? Are you crazy? Now, by the way, I'm one of them. I am currently running short distances, but my running coach has run, I believe, 3, if not 4 Ironmen, rode his bike 80 miles on Saturday, and is training for a, I don't even know what's more than an Ironman. I forget what it's called. I think he's crazy. Now, because I'm self-aware, I'm not going to crush his dreams, and he wouldn't listen to me anyway. Believe you me, he is a man possessed and on a mission. But I think he's a nut job. And other people would pursue that energy as to where I just support him and laugh and say, better you than me, brother, and I'll drive the van, right? So you've got to know who you're dealing with, and you've really got to safeguard yourself. And sometimes, guys, again, you know, Joel Osteen said several weeks ago, he said, sometimes, you know, you should love your family, but sometimes you've got to love them from a distance. And I'm not a very evangelical person. I don't normally, you know, scream amen at the top of my lungs, but man, amen to that one. Sometimes you definitely have to love your family, but sometimes you do have to love them from a distance. And so the last thing I want to talk about as we conclude the call today, guys, is are you walking by or are you operating in confidence or hesitance? Are you walking in faith? Are you walking in fear? And are you walking or operating in your vision or simply what you can see? Because I would tell you, you know, what you can see around you is a world gone mad. I mean, from the coronavirus, which we've talked about, to the political arena, the political climate right now, to, I mean, just everything in between. So I would tell you guys, this is just me, but I've been spending little to no time on social media. I've almost quit watching the news entirely. I just read the news and try to decipher the best I can. And these neighborhood apps that neighbors that know each other or don't know each other are attacking each other about the silliest, littlest, most petty things. Guys, disengage is my advice from all of that. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. We're not ostriches. There are things going on around us that we need to be aware of and in tune to. But if you've got two tanks, you've got a positive energy tank and you've got a negative energy tank, and believe you me, there's just a lot more going on in the world, and there's a lot more ways to fill that negative tank to the brim while your positivity tank just stays on fumes. So whether, you know, again, regardless of your faith, whether you go to church or whether you go to temple or whether you read or whether you meditate or whether you join the Monday morning WBRX call. And guys, believe you me, we understand this is just a platform. This time that we have with you guys is a gift to us. We do not take it lightly. I hope you can hear as I'm going through my notes that I was well prepared coming in today, because I wanted to give you something, whether it's for WBRX or whether it's for your family or whether it's for your day job or whether it's for an entrepreneurial dream you've had for years, that we can help you kick off with WBRX money that you've earned. Whatever it is, I want to be someone that puts something in your positive energy tank. And I would encourage you, seek out people who do the same. Seek out people who tell you you look nice. Seek out people who tell you you're handsome or you're beautiful. I once heard someone say, don't ever criticize someone for something they can't change in 30 seconds. If they're slouching, encourage them to stand up straight, but don't rag on them for slouching because they can't necessarily fix that in 30 seconds. If they're smacking or have bad table manners, they can fix that in 30 seconds, right? So it's not that that's a perfect science, but it does help you slow down and understand, okay, wait a minute, am I being critical? Could this person change it if they wanted to, or is not even something they can change? I can't change being tall. A short person can't change being short. Now, again, if I want to lose weight, you can encourage me to make better choices starting right now with the decision I'm about to make with the food I'm about to put in my mouth. But losing 100 or 200 or 400 pounds, that's going to be a journey. And people need positive influence. They need positive people around them. So be a positive person. Surround yourself by positive people. Really lifeguard yourself from negativity, people who would criticize just for the sake of criticizing. Guys, I'm not talking about being sensitive or wearing your feelings on your sleeve. Constructive criticism is a huge part of why I have the success that I've had today, whether it's in my family or whether it's in my faith or whether it's in my finances. Constructive criticism is not to be taken lightly when it's someone that you believe in, when it's someone that you know is in your corner. Then constructive criticism absolutely can be your friend. But if it's coming from just someone who is a critic, who is a criticizer, you need to part your ways from them as much as you possibly can. Create a distance. Love them. Appreciate them. Be an encourager to them. But do not let them poison your well would be my advice. So in closing, I'll just remind you, think about, these are questions just for you, but what is your motivation? What is your mindset? And how are you going to mobilize to put those motivations and that mindset into action? Are you walking by, or are you operating in confidence or hesitance, faith or fear, vision or sight? So with that, guys, it's 9:22 on a beautiful Monday morning. My partner and I are honored to be in relationship and in community with you guys. We want to serve you. We want to be here to help you. Now, sometimes, guys, I'll tell you, Barry and I, we've started taking the gloves off with some folks because we see greatness in people who are accepting mediocrity in themselves. Maybe they're scattered. Maybe they're a little bit directionless. They're like a boat, you know, a great fine vessel, but with no rudder, right? They're just kind of shifting this way or shifting that way. And so Barry and I have really started engaging with some folks. And I do want to reach out to a couple of folks. I'm not going to say it by name, but Megan was not the only contender for the contest. She was the sole winner. To take nothing away from Megan, we are so proud and so honored for her. But guys, for those of you that didn't win it this time, I know several of you on the call had two people sign up. You had three people sign up. I believe there was one person that was right on the bubble and had four people sign up. We commend you. Not that you're competing with each other, but you know, you are competing for your best. You're competing to give, to leave everything on the field and to just be the best that you can possibly be in this business and in this life. You know, we talk about all the time how limited and precious the time is, so we don't want to take it for granted in any way. So, guys, thank you very much. Barry, I'll let you come on if you want to close out and say anything, and if not, I'll conclude. But I just want to tell you guys, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate what you mean to us and sharing this time with us. And so I would just tell you guys, we really look forward to the dinner at Ciro's tomorrow night in Memorial City. It is a limited space. I think the room only holds like 12 or 15. So if you or any of your guests are coming, let Austin, Barry, and I know today, because we do not want you standing in the back of the room, and God knows we don't want your prospects standing in the back of the room. So let us know. It is a limited seating event, but Ciro's tomorrow night, and of course the Zoom call on Wednesday night. You're going to get to hear from Megan Mitchell. You're going to get to hear from my partner, Barry. You get to hear from probably Dr. Jasani Patel and or Poonsalon or some combination thereof. But, guys, if you need anything, let us know. We're here to help, and we look forward to the journey together. Barry, I'll kick it back over to you, and thank you for all you do, man. We appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. Great job. Great information, guys. And we're excited, as always, to be able to, you know, come on, you know, our Monday morning call and share this information. And I want you to, you know, as Sean mentioned, stay tuned. We've got several things going on the calendar. Just reference the calendar on our website. You can see, you know, some of the upcoming events and information. And we're sending out emails and we're sending out texts constantly, guys. But we have, you know, along with everything else, we've got our upcoming event, you know, March the 28th, Academy. It's going to be big. We're going to have already got signs of a very strong attendance. We've got some new stuff that we're going to be doing at that event, including a new product launch. We're making that news available first to the founders and then to the PPC on Wednesday, the founders tomorrow night and the PPC on Wednesday. And there'll be some information, some press release information, guys, that you're going to hear coming from, you know, Big Pharma, that, you know, this company's been selected to market and distribute exclusively some very unique products. So, guys, we're excited. We're excited about what's going on. We're excited about what it's going to mean for you and for everyone that's in direct contact with the company. So we'll talk with you very soon. If we don't talk with you this week, I'm sure we'll be talking soon. God bless. Have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.